Now, we've talked on the show before about the relationship between managed service providers, or MSPs, vendors, and distributors. And so today's guest is somebody who has been helping the transformation of the distribution part of that relationship. Angus Shaw is the sales director of Brigantia, a UK-based value-added cybersecurity distributor. Now, Angus was part of the management buyout team that acquired Brigantia in 2016, and he's played a pivotal role in establishing Brigantia as a top name in the UK cybersecurity space. Angus, it's my pleasure. Welcome to Tub Talk.
That's a very kind introduction. Thank you, Richard. Nice to be with you this morning. Really appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure. And we were just talking just before you came on air that you're a listener to the show, you've listened to some of the big names, but you're one of the big names that we've not had on the show yet. So it's a good way to put that to bed.
No, looking forward to having a good conversation this morning with you.
Yeah, and I was saying just before we came on air, I'm obviously, listeners know I'm at home in the studio garage in Newcastle upon Tyne. Am I right in thinking you're just down the road from me, sort of relatively in beautiful
North Yorkshire? Not far. So yeah, we moved actually our office January last year, I think it was. So yeah, Jan 23 from a place called Ripon, which is known as the smallest city in the UK due to its cathedral. And we moved from Ripon to Thirsk, which is about 20 minutes down the road. So yeah, a bit further south than you, but certainly north of Watford, that's for sure.
Yeah, for most of the London-centric viewers, it's going to be the Great North to them, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Where we
are, so let's jump right in. Let's jump into the Brigantia story, first of all. So I guess for the benefit of people, we've got a global audience here. Brigantia, very well known in the UK, but for people further afield, perhaps, how would you describe what it is that Brigantia do, how you help manage service providers?
You gave a bit of background at the start, Richard. So the brand Brigantia has actually been around since 1996. So it's a pretty well-established brand in the UK community. What we do now is we are a value-added distributor. Come master MSP, I would say, is probably for the American-centric listeners on the call. I think that's a much growing part of the industry in the US and starting to take shape more and more into the UK. So we have two arms to the business. We have a value-added distribution arm that sells licenses to MSPs, generally MSPs. We do a bit of reseller work, but generally MSPs. And then we have a master managed service arm of the business, which is where we basically provide outsourced service for MSPs to help with resourcing time, all of that sort of stuff that we know many MSPs struggle with. So they're the two core sections of it. I run the business day to day and well supported by a much more experienced board. I think the nearest board member to me is 30 years older than me. Well supported by them and really nice growing business. And I think the Brigantia community that was established in 1996 still holds firm today. Some of those partners traded with my dad back then in 1996 and still trade with us today, which is really nice.
Yeah. I want to dig into, obviously, you've had a fairly phenomenal career as a young man within this industry as well. I also want to talk a little bit about the outsourcing piece that you mentioned. Huge fan of that, as you probably know. You know, I've been on the soapbox talking about outsourcing more. But I guess for veterans of the MSP space like myself, we know the Brigantia name from way back when, as you said, but probably in a different format as it is today. So talk us through the process of that management buyout in 2016. Why did that happen and where has it gone since?
So the old Brigantia as such was a hardware buying group. It's been through a few guys, is heavily involved in leasing as well at one point. And it was a community that came together and really gathered pace by offering free shipping before free shipping was a thing. So they did really well back then, grew the community with lots and lots of benefits for being part a member of said community. But obviously, as hardware prices fell and margins got squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, that place didn't really exist anymore. And then something called Amazon came along, which obviously made things even more challenging. So opportunity was identified by our now chairman, Martin Wright, who owned a company called TechGate PLC. TechGate PLC was a reseller basically of cloud backup services. They were the largest Attix 5 reseller in the UK at the time, and they spotted the opportunity to be able to take that to channel partners. Subsequently, TechGate was acquired by Clarinet, and the Brigantia brand was rolled in with that. And we identified the opportunity that Brigantia wasn't a fit for Clarinet, clearly. And so we acquired the Brigantia brand back from Clarinet in end of 2015 and relaunched Brigantia in January 2016 as to what we are today, which is fundamentally a value-added distributor. I hate all the acronyms in the industry of VAD, as you'll see online all of the time. Yeah. But the key element, I would say, is that the community part of the business has never really left. So I think 1 year since I started in the business, we've had an annual partner day that goes from strength to strength. The feedback that we get from the community is still pivotal in how we drive the business forward. And so, you know, fundamentally, we want to solve problems for MSPs and provide them with solutions. And I think, you know, that sense of purpose still exists. And in the same way that it did in 1996, we obviously, as part of that process, became part of the billing loop and became a distributor, as the outside world will see it. But the community still holds firm. And to be honest, it doesn't. The business doesn't exist without it. So it's a huge part of the business, although it's gone through a few guises to get to where we are today.
Yeah. Now, if I rewind, obviously I'm a former MSP owner myself, going way back when. And, you know, in my day, as you say, it was all hardware and it was on-site servers and things. I sold the business, I think it was about 2011-ish, going back there. So I actually saw the transformation in the industry from moving away from that hardware towards the cloud and, you know, everything that goes with it. And now we're in the cybersecurity era. So how have you observed things? Obviously, the management buyout, huge. That must have been a really interesting process to go through. But how has business gone since 2016?
And it's really interesting as well, because, you know, that evolvement, even up until last year, right, we've still been evolving in that way, and that continues every day. So, you know, hardware-wise, the only thing we really do to do with hardware anymore is firewalls. And that's a dwindling part of the business at the moment as well, because clearly the COVID pandemic's changed how people work forever. And the requirement for on-site firewalls is not what it was pre-pandemic or perceived requirement for them. So that element almost gone. We actually took the decision strategically to sell off our telecoms business last year. We didn't feel as if it was serving the right purpose for our community anymore. There was no real money in it for us as a distributor. So we thought they were better served by the telecoms providers themselves. And that's another way that the market's evolved. And so the focus on cyber is now pretty much 100% from us as a business. There's a few things that we have as more sort of benefits, really, like the IT Agree relationship, where that is a legal service that helps MSPs. To be honest, it's not something we make a lot of money out of. It's just something that we think is sticky for partners and something that can provide real, real value to them. So if we see opportunities like that, we will take them. But generally now we are cybersecurity focused through and through, and putting absolute focus, as I said previously, on solving genuine problems. I think in the cybersecurity technology general world that we now live in, you can buy technology for anything, right? And so doesn't mean it's something that an MSP needs or that their customers are demanding from them. So finding that sort of ground that is commercially viable, but also is something that is solving a genuine problem, is absolutely critical to how we, you know, move forward with vendors.
Yeah, there is a lot of noise in the cybersecurity space at the moment.
Definitely one way to put it, yeah.
I'm being polite about that, Angus. I was at the Cloud and Cybersecurity Expo in London a few weeks ago, and it was mind-blowing the amount of things. And my colleague Stephen McCormack said, if I see another dashboard, you know, I'm going to shout at somebody.
How do you distinguish between all the different acronyms as well? Like, you know, one vendor's perception of what a MSP is, let alone what a SIEM, SOT, XDR, MDR, all of those different acronyms, it's a minefield. And I think that's one thing I'd say from our side is, and we've seen it with some of the bigger MSPs who are really starting to trust in us now, is that I think a lot of that heavy lifting, if you trust in the Brigantia vendor due diligence process, actually can be done for you. And it's a very different sort of outsourcing to sort of traditional outsourcing of services like we do with our KnowBefore managed service offering, another conversation. But if you can trust in someone to do that element of work for you, and you can come with an open mind to see what's available, you can skip so much of that process by that can be so time consuming. I see what our guys go through to decide whether a vendor's viable. You know, if you're an MSP and you're having to do that for every element of your business, I'm not sure you have time to do anything else.
Yeah, I think you've just hit the nail on the head on the number one thing that I hear MSPs speak well of with Brigantia, and that is that way you almost do the curation of the vendor portfolio for them. You do the legwork so that they get the good players, you know, the really good solution.
We're trying to do that, Richard, absolutely. I think, and we've got some partners now that take 10 vendors from us, you know, and that's amazing. You know, that's what dreams are made of. It's a lot of trust, and, you know, we take that responsibility very seriously. But, you know, if every partner took one more vendor from us, the business would be much bigger than it is. And I think if we can prove that trust over time, it's one, beneficial for them, but two, they start to see the more vendors they take from us, the better the experience is, because they're getting more time in their own business. And I think time is, you know, it's the number one limiting factor on me. It's probably the same for you, and I'm sure it is for all of the MSPs. It is a real challenge.
Yeah, MSPs are definitely time poor. Yeah. You've seen the cybersecurity landscape change enormously over recent years. We were just joking and talking about it, but what do you think MSPs should be prepared for over the next few years?
I won't talk about AI too much, because it's a topic that everyone wants to cover, and I'm no expert in it, but I am seeing the evolvement of AI in our vendors and how they're starting to utilize it now, which I think is really interesting. I think that the key thing is that we all have a responsibility, whatever level of the channel we're at, and forgetting product for a second, to educate SMBs, because, you know, the government have started to try and ramp up, you know, coverage of the Cyber Essentials scheme. I've started to see much more coverage of scams online. The news will have someone on once a week, you know, covering a specific hack or whatever. But we can all do more to help educate SMBs. And whether that's through paid for advertising or just having a conversation with someone that shouldn't be, you know, who's left their laptop unlocked on a train or something like that, it's, I think we all have a responsibility for that. And this isn't, like, the attackers aren't going away. AI, if anything, is going to make the whole situation a whole lot worse. And so I think actually all of us owning that responsibility in the channel to better give a better understanding to business owners, I think, is something that I feel strongly about and try and live every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk a few about the vendors that you've got within your portfolio, if we can, just briefly. Yeah. Obviously, there's loads there, and it's difficult for you, Angus, not to share any favoritism for one over another. But any distributor is measured on their vendor portfolio. How have you gone about finding those best in class cybersecurity vendors for Brigantia? You said, the loads, aren't there?
Yeah, we could. And to be honest, Richard, we could sign a new vendor every week. Like, they're coming at us all the time. You know, some countries more than others. I think we've built a bit of a reputation now for bringing smaller vendors to the UK market for the first time. That's something that I feel as if we can really do well. And we can do that because we've got in the scheme of things, although there's loads and loads of vendors to choose from, we've got quite a limited portfolio in the sense that we try and avoid entirely conflicting vendors.
Yes.
So we'll have something specific for each, what we would consider, layer of cybersecurity. And there's some of those layers that we don't have at the moment because we've not found something suitable for the channel or commercially viable for us or commercially viable for MSPs. And so we're, you know, there's some areas that I'd like to fill, but the vendor portfolio at the moment is, I think, well-balanced. It allows us to commit 100% to the vendor that we represent because they aren't in conflict with any others. So we know if we've got an opportunity for patching that it's going to Heimdall, or if we know that we've got an opportunity for security awareness training, it's going to know before. There's no debate around which vendor gets what. And so that gives clarity of mind to my team to be able to actually become outsource experts on that portfolio, because we're not asking them to represent 60 to 100 or 5,000 vendors in the case of one of our competitors. Like, it's a different model that we run, and I think that's why, you know, often we can sit pretty seamlessly against alongside other suppliers as well, as opposed to being in competition, because we have our option in that space. And actually, if the partner doesn't want that, that's absolutely fine. And we want to work with partners that want to work collaboratively with us and use the tools that we've got at our disposal, which, my number one tool is that I have the most amazing product specialist team with 10 guys in it that are absolutely phenomenal at their area of the market. And that outsource expertise is something that most partners would pay for, let alone be given as part of the service. So, yeah, I think there are some bigger opportunities this year, particularly. There's some massive success stories. So, you know, one success story, I've mentioned them already. We launched Heimdall in the UK with there were no devices in the UK for Heimdall in the start of 2016. Our chairman saw Morten, their CEO, speak at the Danish embassy when they were just a startup. That business is now very well established in MSP UK. It's about 300 MSPs now on board, thousands and thousands of endpoints deployed, and seeing that go from nothing to where it is today is amazing. Other opportunities that I would say in the coming year, the changes around DMARC and how that's being enforced by Google and Yahoo led to us signing Senmark on the 22nd of December. 3 months later, we've got over 200 MSPs on the service, most successful launch we've ever done into the UK channel. So I think like that is an obvious opportunity for MSPs this year, and something that, one, they need to do to help their customers, otherwise they're going to be getting a lot of tickets in the not too distant future. But yeah, also in terms of an immediate revenue stream, we've built that out and built toolkits that allow them to monetize that very, very quickly. So that would be a really good opportunity for partners as well. And then there's others that are slightly longer term plays that I don't think the market's quite there yet in SMB, like DLP, so data loss prevention providers. Those sorts of ones we've signed next in that space, and we see that as very much a long-term partnership that we're going to help build into SMB. So I think there's a nice mix there, and we're always on the lookout. I think you've met Rob a few times, Richard, that he leads that from our side. Rob Hall, who's been around channel for a very long time now, he won't mind me saying. So he leads all of the vendor due diligence, and then if he thinks we've got one, then I hash out a deal that'll work for everyone. So it's a nice process, nice portfolio. But I think the key thing from our side is that we want to be experts in their service. We want to have a team that knows it as well as them as the vendor. And if nothing, and actually often be able to be more objective as well, because we have relationships on other stuff. Actually, I don't mind the guys telling a partner that it's not the right fit for them, because the value of us telling them that right now is five times down the line value back to us when we have got something that's right for them.
Yeah. Angus, I'll give you an insight into some of the conversations I have with listeners. Sometimes, you know, I get some lovely feedback from people. I've been at events over the past couple of weeks, catching up with listeners. One of the things they say to me is, oh, why don't you feature X, Y, and Z, these, yes, you know, really recognizable names in our industry? And I always say to them, I want to shine a light on the people who are positively disrupting our industry, who are doing things differently, better. Yeah. You're one of those people. Brigantia are one of those people in there. And that's, so I guess that's as much, you know, for the listeners as for you, Angus. You know, just to say, you know, the industry does need to change. What distribution was does need to change. So for me, word of mouth in the MSP space is super powerful. And one of the reasons we wanted to speak to you on this show, so many MSPs I've spoken to have spoken highly of Brigantia, especially your in-person events and your roadshows. Yeah. You mentioned the community. In fact, our own community manager, Steve McCormack, he attended one of your recent roadshows in Birmingham. I know you two got together. We wrote about it on Tumblr. Blog. Now, what could an MSP attending a Brigantia event expect?
Well, the number one thing is I hope they'll leave with something they didn't know before. That's something we try and that's what we try and make sure we have some specific takeaway from each event. And then secondly, I would say that the value of speaking to other MSPs in a not completely informal, but I'd say semi-formal setting is hugely powerful, because you get characters in that room who would never normally never join a peer group, for example, but actually can see the value through by going to that event and learn something about someone else's business that they can then replicate in their own business. And that can literally be a passing conversation over a coffee with someone that they've never met before. And I think, you know, we have people, I guess, testament to the event. You've got people that will drive from the north of Scotland down for them, or you'll have someone that'll come up from the south on the train or whatever. And I think that community feel is very much still there. Yes, there are vendor presentations. Of, you know, these things don't happen without vendor support, but we push those vendors very hard now to offer educational content. And if it's an if they're showcasing a challenge that their solution solves, that's absolutely fine. But we've got to educate at every stage of what we're delivering, whether that's through events, webinars, you know, social media campaigns, whatever it may be. We should education should be front and center.
I will get on my soapbox a little bit here, Angus. It blows my mind when I go to, I'm not going to pick on distributors, no, traditional distributors specifically, but you know what I'm talking about. When we get to events and it is boring vendor pitch after another, yes, and it's like, what is the point of the MSPs coming out? So again, I want to give a public shout out for you. Like everybody I've spoken to has gone to one of your events, has said they've got a lot of value from it, a lot of education and those gold nuggets as well that they take away. So please continue what you are doing.
Yeah, we will. And we're massively in the throes at the moment of planning our major partner day in October, 2nd and 3rd of October. That's a big undertaking. We get about 200 MSPs to that, but you know, the balance of people being able to learn something from a vendor perspective but also taking away absolutely critical information that they can impact their own business with, and also learning things that from a cyber perspective that will be helpful for them in protecting their clients.
Yeah.
So yeah, that will be a good one. Be good to see you if you can come along to that, Richard. It'd be great to have you there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Give us the details and we'll make sure to give a shout out as well on the blog and everything.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to change tact a little bit here, Angus. We've talked about, you know, products and services a little bit so far, but you mentioned what the Americans would call the master MSP model, what we would refer to as like outsourcing and strategic alliance and partnerships. So tell us about that side of Brigantia, because I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, so that actually came about off the back of a relationship with an American vendor, KnowBe4. So we got the opportunity to bring KnowBe4 to the MSP space in the UK. They weren't focused on it at all. And, you know, it wasn't an area of the business that they, you know, understood the opportunity in. And security awareness training at the time was relatively new as an offering for MSPs. KnowBe4 is a very big product, very well established in lots of enterprises, very well established in VAR business. And we brought an offering to MSPs with monthly billing for the first time. And when we first showcased it, everyone thought the product was absolutely amazing. They solved a problem, but we were selling licenses and it wasn't being used. And so we identified over a few months that the challenge was that the product was too big. And because at the time it was being sold to clients here and there, instead of being established across the whole MSP, it was relatively new. One, they didn't have the time or resources to be able to actually do the management of it because it was a big job. And two, the training investment to learn how to use a big system like that was pretty significant. So what we decided to do was launch an outsourced managed service that, you know, to be honest, for a very long time lost money because you need a lot of license on it for it to scale. And from there, it's gone from strength to strength. We're now the largest, in terms of end clients under management, we are the largest provider of KnowBe4 in the world, which is really cool. And it's something we're now looking to replicate across other services. Now, the key thing with the KnowBe4 offering is that it's never technically required us to be inside client networks. And that's like sort of the red line we've had, is that the partner does the whitelisting that's required to be able to run simulated phishing campaigns, and then they hand it over to the management side at Brigantia. And that runs perfectly. Either we report directly to the client or we report to the MSP and they can white label as they see fit. It's something we're looking to build with our DLP provider as well, because again, we think we can do that without actively needing to be inside the client's network. And any opportunity that we have to do that, it's something we'll look to do, because we could see, you know, we've had MSPs move to our KnowBe4 offering, even though it's costing them more money, simply because it can be outsourced and managed on their behalf. And
yeah, it's
the replication of that quality of service. They know exactly what's being delivered, when it's being delivered, and how it's going to be reported, and they don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, So it blows my mind a little bit, Angus. I've said this on the show before that, you know, we as MSPs, we speak to our end users and we say, hey, you focus on what you do best and we'll look after the IT side of things. Yes. So essentially outsource it to us. But it blows my mind that more IT outsourcers don't outsource more, exactly. If that makes sense.
So
know before, you've just shared there, but you're also looking for DLP solutions. What else could you offer or do you offer in the outsourcing space?
At the moment, the next DLP relationship's the next one that's being built out at the moment. The know before element's gone so well and been very, very time consuming from a managed service perspective. So at the moment, it's the next relationship's the following one. We are looking at other solutions. The challenge is that we don't want to be technically inside the client's network. That's a business decision we've taken at the moment in time.
And why is that, Angus? Forgive me
just
for
interrupting. The risk that comes with it, compliance requirements that come with it. I think you when you start seeing end client data, that you need to have very clear red lines of who's responsible for what. Whereas a management platform, the only thing that can really go wrong with the know before phishing simulations is that the whitelisting stops working, i.e. Mimecast needs another setting updated or whatever. And clearly that's the MSP's responsibility to update that, and we'll provide them with the insight that they need to go and change that. But otherwise, we run the service end to end and there is no requirement for anything else. What we don't want to do is create any murky water. So I'm following a company I share, SPP in America, who are Heimdall's master MSP for the US. And I'm following their journey really, really closely because they are very much getting involved in the technical side. So their first line SOC on the Heimdall offering in the US. Now that's a big jump, right? And you need serious tech expertise inside your business. But I'm really interested to watch their business go from strength to strength because I've got no doubt that we can continue to replicate something here similar. And there's loads of areas of an MSP's business that we could support without having to get into the nuts and bolts of network configurations and security settings inside of the network. So watch this space, I would say, on that front. It's something we're looking really closely at. And I think, you know, our churn or rate on know before is literally nil when it's got the managed service wrap around it. But it's really is a remarkable retention rate. So we know that it's something that we could really do well in. And I know it's something that MSPs see real value in. So it's something we're actively looking to expand.
Yeah. I mean, as a former MSP owner, I was one of the first in the UK to really embrace strategic alliances, working with other tech companies to deliver these type of services. Yeah. Angus, there's going to be some people listening to this that they feel as though I've seen an almost religious fervor around what an MSP should be, and an MSP should do everything themselves. Mm. I totally disagree with that. Yeah. I think you should build up. I'm just putting it out there, Angus. You know, you and I probably agree on that. But what would you say to those people who believe that an MSP should do everything themselves and not buddy up with other companies like Brigantia or whomever?
I'm quite to the point with partners, and I think that's why they always know where they stand with us. And I would say take a step back from the business, and are you really delivering the best possible service to your clients? That would be the number one. And it may take a lot of partners to lose a customer for them really to wake up to that, or it may be that another MSP or another consultant gets some work inside your client that you don't like. The case that's happened, but take a step back and have a real look at, could I be doing something slightly better? Because we should all be trying to improve every day. Everyone makes mistakes and everyone's not doing, is not working optimally at all times. You know, I will finish this podcast with you, Richard, and look back and go, I could have done this or I could have done that. You know, everyone does it, but it's how we, be slightly conciliatory, or, how do we look back and go, I can do this better, I think is really, really important. And particularly in a busy MSP environment, I know it myself, some days I sit down at my desk and it'll be 6 o'clock in the evening and I go, God, I need to go home. And actually, you're not really stopped to think.
Yeah.
So it is really important to do that. And I think, the MSPs that don't do that over time will either be sold to one of the many private equity backed MSPs in the market and not get the metrics that they would like or the multiples they would like, or they will struggle because other MSPs are doing this and are bringing new services to market and are doing it in a very streamlined and efficient way. And I think outsourcing, the main driver for that, obviously you can reduce some costs, but it goes hand in hand with streamlining of the business.
Yeah, yeah. I like what you said there about delivering the best quality for the clients as well. I can't tell you the number of MSPs I've spoken to, Angus, and they've ended up saying yes to a piece of work with a client just because they didn't want to say no, and then ended up fudging it half, you know, baking it.
And you can see how it happens. You can see it happens. Yeah, you don't want to open the door if you're not fully... If you know that you're not delivering an optimal service all day, every day, you don't want to open the door to anyone else because you're worried that they will deliver an optimal service in that time. So you can see how it happens, but it's quite a short-sighted approach that I think, you know, everyone with a step back with a reasonable mind can see that, you know, in outsourcing in some form is needed inside an MSP. I wouldn't even say it's a nice to have. It is needed in some form. It's just to what extent you choose to do it.
I want to rewind in our conversation a little bit. We were talking about the different vendors that you have on your sort of distribution list. We mentioned Heimdall, we mentioned No before, very well-known names. Who are some of the names that perhaps listeners may not know so well that you think, hey, you should be taking a look at these?
Yeah, I'll just to re-highlight the Cenmark one, because DMARC is so critical at the moment, and they have very limited presence in the UK, or had very limited presence in the UK pre-December. Few direct MSPs that now transitioned, and we're 200 plus on that.
And that sorry to interrupt, that was totally timely as well, given what's happening with the Google stuff.
To be fair,
right,
that's
now.
Rob Richard, you know, does the brilliant thing about having good people around you, right? I'm absolutely to the grind trying to close off the year, record year. Everything is about the sales team and delivery of what we've agreed to deliver before Christmas, right? And Rob literally had to shake me and say, Angus, we need to do this. and we had, you know, a couple of times I'd batted off the conversation, and on the 20th of December, he was like, we are going to do this. You need to get involved in this conversation. And by the 22nd, we'd done it. So it was, you know, the due diligence was all done. I literally, he brought it to me pre-packed, ready for us to do. And that's the wonder of having great people around you. Some of the other smaller names, shall we say, that like a lot of partners that might not have heard of. We work with a great company that's part of Crossword Security called Trillion, which is dark web monitoring. And I think that's a really interesting market, given, you know, I'll dare say it, Kaseya Datto situation at the moment. They had a great product in there. There's obviously some unrest there. So we're seeing more demand in the dark web space. That's really good. We launched, again, I guess, trying to keep ahead of the market. I've been following the journey of a company called Island, who are a browser-based cybersecurity business, and the funding they've been getting from PE is like something you've never seen before for a small business. And I thought there's got to be something in this browser-based space. So Rob went off, and we're working with a company called Conceal out of Augusta in the US. We help bring them to the UK market for MSP specifically. Obviously, the transition since COVID with hybrid working, pretty much everything's running through your browser. So it's been a massively underprotected area for MSPs generally, and a really relatively easy add-on for partners to take to clients. So that's another strong name, I suppose, and really growing name. And who else should I mention? I know, just to reaffirm, I guess, the next one. What's been really interesting, Richard, is since we started in 2016, I share this at events, right? So no before, when they came on board, were private equity backed. But other than that, every vendor I think we signed in those early days was privately owned. And so we've watched the transition of them all go from private ownership to private equity and all that comes with that. So I've got to know that space pretty well. And it was really interesting actually to see the other side of it for the first time at the IT Growth Forum, which was an IT Europa event a couple of weeks ago. And that was basically a room full of private equity backed MSPs. So I'd kind of seen the vendor side and then seeing the MSP side and the impact that that's making on the industry, because we talk about streamlining, you know, those guys are like the ultimate streamliners, right? About
definitely
how to make businesses more efficient, either in a good way sometimes and often not in a good way. But that was a really interesting thing to see. So yeah, I'd say immediate opportunities, definitely DMARC, whether that's Cenmark or a competitor, there's an immediate opportunity for MSPs that they really should be taking advantage of, but also saving themselves some aggro down the line in terms of its email deliverability. And I guess one other that I've not mentioned, which is on a really exciting journey, and a lot of your UK and US MSPs probably know already, is a company called Octiga. They are a 365 multi-tenanted streamlining service, really, for optimizing security policies across your MSP estate, literally being built for MSPs. Been really nice to hear that they've just got a really big round of investment, having launched with us about 15 months ago. So yeah, some really interesting tech. And I think, you know, we've got a nice balance of some of the really big boys as their dedicated MSP provider, like with the Know Before, through to some of the really exciting new tech to the UK. And, you know, like Next, Zenmark, and then Octiga a little bit further down the line.
Yeah, a lot of really interesting names there, some of which I knew, some of which I didn't know. So, you know, I'm saying, listeners, I learn from these episodes as well when I record them.
Well, and say, Richard, as well, because that's not an that is a really important point, right? And anyone that's listening, the marketing budget that comes with it isn't important to us. So the brand doesn't matter. We can build that brand for them in the UK. The bit that matters is the tech. And the tech's got to solve a genuine problem. If it does, it's of interest. And if they have no money for marketing, they have no money for marketing. If we feel strongly enough about it, we'll bring it to market.
Yeah. And for the benefit of listeners, perhaps you're out, you know, driving or walking the dog or whatever it might be, listening to these episodes, don't worry about scribbling down all of the names, all of the resources that Angus and I have mentioned. We'll include them all on the blog post in the show notes. So you can get to tublog.co.uk and they're all going to be there. Angus, I'm going to go off at left field a little bit here. Okay. We talk, obviously, this, I know this podcast is listened to predominantly by MSPs, but I also know, and they keep it on the down low, but there's a lot of vendors who listen to this as well to keep an eye on what's going on in the space. And of course, they are very, very welcome. There's going to be vendors listening to this, perhaps have not come across Brigantia before, and they're going to say, and why would I buddy up with a company like Brigantia? Why would I team up with a Brigantia? What do Brigantia bring to the party? And I say this, I'm an advisor, as well as many listeners know, to, you know, to many startup vendors in this space. Yeah. And I point them in direction of yourself and others to where they can get value. But what would you say to those vendors who are like, what do we get out of the deal?
So from the vendor side, we're an extension of their team. That is it. We are the middle ground between the partner and the vendor. And I think we sort of leverage that position as a trusted advisor for both MSP and the vendor. I regularly meet at board level with the vendors that we work with, and the insights that we can give them from a community of over 1400 MSPs is absolutely massive. And some choose to listen to it a lot better than others. And all I can say, the ones that choose to listen to the insights more are the ones that are the most successful in our community.
I hear you. Yep.
And I think that whole knowledge sharing piece that we can add can really add value to any vendor. But at the end of the day, we've talked about private equity and them being funded. Is from a vendor perspective, we deliver, right? We don't sign vendors that we can't deliver on. And we have an internal target that if we can't be $1 million in revenue with them within 2 years, it's not worth doing, because our cost of starting that relationship that we're paying for is so high that we have to make sure it works. So, you know, we know very quickly with a vendor relationship whether it's going to work. And to be honest, we have a very high success rate of when we actually bring something to market of it going well. So deliverability obviously being a key one, but I think the knowledge is even more powerful than the deliverability, because even if they don't want to work with Brigantia at some point in the future, they've still got all that knowledge if they've done that. Although they would find that contractually very difficult, because we like to protect our community.
Yeah, I can well imagine. We've already alluded to this, but you've got a very interesting story, an interesting history in the tech space yourself as well. And we're talking about the knowledge that you've accumulated. So I believe you started your career, was it back in 2012? Yeah. Canary Wharf-based company, maybe?
Yeah, so I was saying to Richard just before we started this, I actually dropped out of university. I was actually in Newcastle where Richard sat. So I was already working for our now chairman, Martin, who owned a reseller in London. And anyway, I was 6 months into university and I wasn't hugely enjoying my course. I hadn't done as well at A-level as perhaps I should have done, having been quite a good young achiever.
You and me both, Angus, I've got to say, I'm seeing similarities here. Yeah.
My education dropped off significantly from 16 onwards.
Anyway, same here, yeah.
Ended up at university and you should never have gone. Already had a taste for work, already had a taste for earning good money. Martin, you know, let me, to be fair to him, try both. And clearly that didn't last very long. So I ended up, you know, going to work full time, focusing on telecoms in the first instance, and many of our MSPs we trade with today, selling internet, who are now part of City Fiber, their telecoms services, built a nice channel through that. And then off the back of it, we then expanded and started selling the other services. And so when TechGate was sold to Clarinet, I was very keen to be involved in the Brigantia side. That's what I'd been doing, and came out of that. So yeah, although I've only just had my 30th birthday, I feel as if I've been doing it a lot longer than I should have been for someone that's 30. So I think it's actually about my 13th year of selling services and running a business now into the channel. And I think, you know, it's exciting. I struggle to go anywhere without being referenced to, obviously my dad is still hugely involved in the business. So Martin and Ian both form part of the wider board that we have now and for the much bigger business that we are today. And I think it's really cool that, you know, the Shaw name has been associated since for such a long time in the business. Although, as Dad says, every time that it comes up, you know, it's a very, very different business to what it was today. And, you know, he sees himself as becoming less relevant in that. But I think it's really nice that the business has evolved into what it has and community still being at the heart of it, because there's been stages of that business where actually, you know, community could have dropped off. It could have just been a sales organization shifting product, but we certainly wouldn't be as successful as we have been in the last couple of years without that community feel that's been going for so long.
Yeah, consistency and adaptability. Yeah. Those are the two things that I'm seeing coming out of your story here, Angus. So keep going with it. To that point, actually, both Brigantia and yourself have both won awards. You mentioned, you know, your age and that, but back in 2019, PCR Magazine named you in their 30 under 30 category, which is absolutely awesome. But what advice would you give to our listeners on standing out from the pack? Because it is a crowded marketplace. You're very well known. How'd you do it?
I think you've used a really important word. Consistency is critical, right? So we run a very old school customer service methodology. It's not even a methodology. It's simple, right? If the phone rings, you answer it. It's not a difficult concept, but so many businesses that you deal with, and so many of our competitors, you can't speak to the same person. You have no consistency of deliverability. Every time you ring in, you speak to someone else. You have no designated account manager, or if you do, it changes every 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
We try and be very consistent in our deliverability and delivering services. And over time, that builds trust. And it doesn't happen overnight, but over time, someone rings your office 3 or 4 times or speaks to the same person 3 or 4 times or gets that level of customer service that you can't seemingly get anywhere in the world at the moment, then you build trust, and that breeds a relationship. Maybe a bad choice of words, but a relationship builds over time in that way. So there's some simple ways to stand out, but I think having a clear vision of what you want to be, and I think is really important. And we want to be the leading trusted cybersecurity distributor to MSPs. That is our vision. And we don't think we're there yet. We think we're doing a good job and we're growing really nicely. And our trust is building with partners, and the amount of partners taking more vendors from us is growing day in and day out. And we're consistently adding new partners. But there's always more that you can do. And I think trying to be better every day is a bit of a cliche, but it holds true, and and a lot of what we do is hard work. And I try and push that into the team, is that, you know, if we work harder, and, you know, working smarter is important, obviously, but if we work harder than some of our competitors, partners will want to deal with us more because they will get to speak to us. We will be easy to deal with, and, you know, our dialogues with them will add more value than others.
Yeah. And to that point, Angus, MSPs obviously listening to this, whether they're in the UK or further afield, they've got a huge number of choices for their distribution partners. Absolutely. Some of them, sadly, are very old school. And I don't mean in the good way that you mentioned earlier, but let's be honest, you know, and I feature them on the podcast as well, there's others that are very forward thinking as well. How do you try to distance Brigantia from that aura, that stigma, dare I say, of the old school box shifters, and towards this more essential partner for progressive MSPs?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. It's something I speak a lot about at events and stuff. I think, you know, I won't bore you with the story, but it came out of the we want to be everything that an old school distributor isn't. And I saw that firsthand, where it had a terrible consequence on a very small MSP when we were first relaunching in 2016, and they'd lost the deal because of how that large distributor dealt with it. It was a significant deal with their largest customer. And I left that meeting, one, feeling sorry for the guy because it was just terrible to hear the consequences of it, but secondly, to make sure we were everything that wasn't. And I regularly, you know, encourage partners or, you know, any MSP I speak to, bring our office and try the team, because they'll help you more than anyone else that you ring to speak, and they will help you in a more efficient way than anyone else that you deal with. And if we can do that bit well, then you're on to a winner. So the old school bit, I'm pretty happy that we've kind of put that to bed with the partners we deal with. It's a message we have to keep pushing, because that legacy still lives on today. And unfortunately, you still have a lot of partners out there, I'd say increasingly in the VAR space than the MSP space, but in the VAR space, you just say they don't want to deal with distribution. Yeah. In the MSP space, I think there's due to the rise in marketplaces as well, which we'll talk a little bit about in a minute, they clearly have to deal with distribution in some form. But being everything that a traditional distributor is not is critical, and adding value to the MSP, like actual value, not just saying we're a VAD, actually tangible benefits of the fact that I've got 10 people sat out on the sales floor who are delivering presentations to end clients, for partners, all day, every day, for our vendor portfolio. That is tangible value. And so I guess that's this leads on to my second point, is and why we fit seamlessly alongside the likes of marketplaces like Paxay or Geocom, you know, some of the big providers out there, is that, you know, they have got the breadth of service and they have got the efficiency of billing and all of those sorts of things that come with it. But where we can really add value is with our knowledge sharing on critical services like cyber, which you have to be working with people that, you know what they're doing, have the expertise to help to support your business, have the expertise to help advise what solution is needed for that provider, and your sort of day-to-day licenses, which we don't get involved in, absolutely happily go through a marketplace scenario. So I think there's a really good place for true value-added distributors and marketplaces to sit alongside each other, and as hardware continues to dwindle, I'm sure the traditional distributors will have a continued uphill struggle. And what you can see they're doing is either investing in or buying marketplace businesses, or they're buying value-added distributors, and they're trying to evolve that way. But clearly the Brigantia message is one that we will keep beating the drum of, and hopefully anyone that trades with us, you know, will see what I'm talking about.
And you will have support from this side as well, Angus, I can tell you, because, you know, we've mentioned some of the good people in this industry. I want to shine a light on the good people, and there needs to be competition at all stages. Yeah. There needs to be alternative choices for MSPs listening. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks.
You've mentioned a couple of names who have clearly been influential in your life and career. You mentioned your dad, of course. Are there any folks that you consider mentors or coaches? And for the benefit of listeners, explain how they've helped you along the way as well.
Oh, well, yeah. So dad's obviously been a huge influence throughout the whole thing. Obviously, he's been a constant. He's been involved in the business throughout, at different points more than others. And it's great now to really have taken the business forward myself with his and Martin's guidance. I assume I've got sort of massive sales and revenue expertise from Martin's side, and, you know, the community and making sure we're doing right by the partners at every stage from a dad, because that's what the business was built on.
So, and let's, for the benefit of listeners, Angus, let's give your dad and Martin a full name shout out.
Yeah, so Martin Wright, who's chairman and major shareholder in the Brigantia business, who was also previously MD of TechGate PLC, and then dad is Ian Shaw, who's had founder of Brigantia in 1996 and had it ever since. So 1996, yeah, that is right. I was going to say I can't get that wrong on in public, can I? That would be terrible. Both of them being really, really strong influences, form part of the wider Brigantia board at the moment, and have been fantastic influences on me of how we've built the business. Dad's very sort of vision orientated of where we're going and what the message is to partners. Martin is very skeptical and keeps me right and true to our numbers and deliverability, which is a really good balance to have. And I think really, you know, makes for some interesting board meetings at times, but really does make sure we're being guided correctly. But, you know, And I would be amiss to not mention some of the vendors that we've had since the start, you know, 2016, and the influence they've had on me. On the telecom side, I worked closely with Matt Ring at EFAR for a very long time, then became part of Southern Comms. Big influence on me in terms of how important product and technology is, and that element of adding value back to partners. You know, I've been very close to the board of Heimdall throughout their journey and seeing how they've evolved from a technology standpoint. And I think all of those influences are, you know, MSPs are generally technical people that want to do best by their customers. So we have to share information and help them in a way that is technology driven and problem driven, not just you should sell this because it'll make you more money. I just don't think that resonates well with MSPs, and something that loads and loads of vendors in particular get wrong.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You obviously, I've known your dad for quite some time, but yeah. And you and I met a while back as well. I'm trying to think who it was who reconnected us recently. I think it was Mit Patel, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mit, I think, who I've dealt with. Yeah, brilliant business in Netstar when he sold that to AirIT. We were big supplier of theirs and had a very good relationship, a robust relationship with Mit. I'd say he's a great guy and someone that adds a lot of value back into us even today. And I think Rob's around lots and lots of events and peer groups and all sorts over the course of a year. We've been working really closely again with the network group, which has been really nice, and getting a lot of benefit from working closely with like Troy at Abyss and David more generally on the network group side. So it's a great place to be. And one thing I guess I've really opened my eyes to as I've got older but been doing it a bit longer is the importance of just talking to people in the industry. I guess when you're a young guy and just out trying to, you know, build a nice living and buy a house and all that sort of stuff, you can get a bit lost in sort of day to day and just, you know, I've got to deliver. Yeah. But actually taking a step back and speaking to more people, you can learn more in a conversation, a 10-minute conversation with a competitor or an MSP, you know, that you're not working with, or someone that you wouldn't normally speak to day to day, than you can on, you know, days and days worth of just day-to-day work. So that's something I've tried to do a lot more.
Yeah, so keeping your finger on the pulse is definitely getting out there to events. Cybersecurity, I want to rewind for that a minute. Yeah. It's moving at an incredible pace. Obviously, your MSP partners at Brigantia look to you for that sort of advice. But for our listeners globally, can you give any sort of tips or ideas where Angus Shaw looks for the latest developments in cybersecurity?
That's really interesting. It's such a mixed bag. So I do spend some time at big trade shows where you can see lots of vendors in one space. I don't really like them. I'm quite open with people. It's a necessary evil. And you can see a lot of information there. The 2 weeks after a trade show are absolutely hideous. But I get a lot of value from that. And one of the absolute critical pillars is the referrals from partners, right? So often we sign a vendor off the back of an MSP has come across this particular technology. They're thinking about signing it for their MSP. They found out they don't really have a UK presence. Would you like to have a look at it, Brigantia? Trillium, Senmark, Octiga, Keeper, all four of those came off those.
Wow.
So that's 25. Rootshellers are 30-35% of our current vendor portfolio off the back of referrals for MSPs. And fair play to those MSPs, because that shows you how they've got a proper operational structure that allows them to look at, you know, relevant up-to-date technology, generally being driven by technical people who have identified a challenge. Mm-hmm. And fair play to those vendors that, you know, could be very short-sighted at that point and go, well, Brigantia just want a piece of our deal with this particular MSP. Yeah. You know, why do I want to speak to them? It's just opportunistic. And actually, you know, that broader conversation has led to some fantastic partnerships off the back of it. So I really value feedback from MSPs. Often we get, you know, insights or intros where it might conflict, or, you know, we don't think it's a mass market opportunity, or it's too specific. You know, those things do come up, but particularly MSP referrals, more so than vendor referrals, MSP referrals and our own legwork, right? It's very easy for me to swan up to a couple of big trade shows, right? Rob and and some of his team are putting in the legwork every day to review vendors that come inbound to ours, but also you know, making sure that they're on the pulse as to what's going on.
What do you do outside of work, Angus? What keeps you busy?
Well, thankfully, the cricket season started. It's reaching that time where my wife desperately, desperately wants the cricket season to start. And then by the end of the 22 weeks, she can't wait for it to be over. So I play religiously, other than when we're on holiday. Pre us being married, I think I even played when we were meant to be on holiday. But no, 22 weeks of the season. I'll miss a couple for holidays this year, but generally playing cricket religiously on a Saturday. And I watch a lot of rugby. There's a bit of a standing joke from Rob, right, is that when we're signing a new vendor, they go through all the due diligence with Rob, and commercially I'll deal with it. And he has a standing joke that you have to take Angus to Twickenham before you become a vendor for Brigantia, which has been known to happen, but I wouldn't say it's a strict criteria of becoming a new Brigantia vendor, but I do like to spend time at Twickenham as well.
But you're not going to dismiss the idea that taking you to Twickenham is going to make good friends.
It'd grease the wheels nicely, Richard. Yeah.
Oh, bless. So what can we expect next from Brigantia, Angus?
I think there'll be some exciting new vendor announcements coming in the not too distant future. Certainly a couple more that we're not a million miles away from, one of which is doing some important development work. Technology's fantastic, but they need to do a bit of work to make sure it's right for MSPs before we launch. So that's really exciting. I think more of the same, to be honest. I think we've talked a lot about consistency. Hopefully, you will continue to see consistency of message, a couple of new exciting vendor relationships, and really us ramping up even more on our community engagement, whether that's through events and webinars. I actually saw the webinar schedule for the next couple of months, and it is absolutely crammed because that knowledge sharing is so critical. And we're doing more and more partner enablement work. So one thing that's really remiss of me not to announce, shortly after Easter, we'll be launching a whole new range of partner toolkits for seven or eight of the core vendors who we got on board first with it. We basically built out a whole library of enablement content for partners to be able to use in their communication with end users. That has come about because vendors are notoriously bad at standing very close to their product and it being very product centric. So we've built social media campaigns, we've built email templates, co-branded, white label data sheets for MSPs, all written as here's the problem, here's the solution, and this is why you should partner with X MSP to do that. And so that's going to be a big focus in the early part of April and beyond for Q2.
Well, we will keep an eye on that, and I will give a shout out for anything that we can, because I love what you're doing there. So I guess I want to say to the audience, if you're listening this far, at the start of the episode, you might have thought, oh, distribution, I've got minimal interest in that, see where it goes. I think you'll agree with me. A lot of what Angus has shared in terms of insight and wisdom is applicable to managed service provider businesses and any business as a whole. So I want to thank you for that, Angus, and I want to thank our listeners for being with us. If you're a UK-based MSP and perhaps you wanted to explore partnering with Brigantia, what's the next step for those people to take, Angus?
Well, I always say on these sorts of things, feel free to connect with me directly. LinkedIn, absolutely. I'm on that often. Email me direct, angus.shaw@brigantia.com. I'm always keen to talk to prospective new partners myself or introduce the right people in the team to do so. So love to do that. And, you know, if there's no arduous onboarding process to become a Brigantia partner, there's a simple new partner form and, you know, you'll follow up with lots of invitations to join us on a call or a webinar or at an event, or simply just take a look around the website. It's completely your call, but it would be lovely to connect with you.
We'll include all of the links in the show notes for this episode as well, Angus. I've got to say, we've got a global audience. I know I'd be remiss if I let you go without asking the question from people abroad who are going, this sounds really interesting. Does Brigantia have any plans to step outside of the UK?
It's really interesting that I'm getting asked a lot particularly the East Coast of the US at the moment. But we already trade in Ireland, so we do have a European presence in that regard. I have to be completely honest with you, it depends with the vendor. We will transact in, you know, pounds, euros, US dollars, absolutely no issues. It depends on the vendor. Certain vendors we can trade absolutely happily outside of core regions, i.e. UK and Ireland. Others we can't. Mm. Others we need permission. So absolutely, we get a lot of inquiries through Tech Tribe from organizations that are outside of the UK and Ireland. And I'm always completely upfront. These are the vendors that we can deal with. These are the ones we aren't. So always happy to have the conversation. Be lovely to hear from you. And if nothing else, hopefully we can add some value to your business, even if we can't do anything immediately.
Got it. Angus, thank you for being so open, honest, and you've got an inspiring journey. You really have a really inspiring story. I'm so glad we got together on the podcast, but I'd encourage listeners, if you're interested in Brigantia, reach out, but just connect with Angus. He is, you know, as I said, very inspiring young man with a lot of experience already in his short career. So definitely reach out to him. Angus, it's been a real pleasure catching up with you.
Really pleased to have been on, Richard. Thank you for having me.
Hey folks, Richard here. Thanks for listening today. I know you've got a ton of options for who you listen to nowadays, so I really appreciate your support. Do you have any feedback on this episode? Ideas for future guests? Tweet me at TubBlog using the hashtag TubTalk. I respond to every tweet and really appreciate your feedback.